Well.
Ladies, got some form for Father's Day from the church, and y'all give them, have the church just pick it for you.
So, I mean, you know. We don't know what to get, because we got everything. I tell you.
I just hope you like it there.
Yeah. But it's the thought behind it, anyhow. But, you know, it's wonderful to be a Christian. And it's great to be saved and know it. You go, you talk to people and they say, "Well, I'm hope I'm saved." I said, "Would you like to really get saved today?" Because, you know, I know God's word, and it's got the word hope in our whole lot. But the hope that he's speaking about in God's word is the hope for the Christian. It's not for that sinner. It's the hope for the Christian in doing what he asked him to do. That's what the hope is all about, that. It's doing exactly what God asks us to do. But people today say, "I hope I'm saved." Well, that's sad. I mean, that's sad to hear somebody say that. If you really come down to it and think about it, it's really sad to hear somebody say that. And then they tell you that they're in church. Then they tell you what church you're going to. I mean, but they hope they're saved. An individual that is saved by the grace of God knows it, should already know exactly the place that they was at. Well, they don't need to know the date or the time, but I believe they could know the day of the week. That's what it's all about, and knowing. I know. I think it's in the book of James that says, you can know by a shadow of a doubt that you're saved, you're born again believer. No. Ain't got no hope there. You can't even take the K out of it and come on, you can't even spell hope out of it. But you can know. You can know that you have been to the fountain. And you have been there where Jesus was at. And you was at the feet of the cross. I know literally we weren't there when he was really hanging there on the cross. But really, with our faith in him and our faith in God, we can see his son, his only begotten son, hanging there on the cross. And while he was hanging there on the cross, we can also see where God is speaking about where darkness came. Why did darkness come? Darkness comes like today. This afternoon, probably around maybe 8 o'clock, till 8 or something like that, it's going to get kind of dusty. And it's going to get dark. What does blackness represent? What does darkness represent? Sin. But today, we can go out and we can go shopping. We can go here and there and everything. We can even come to church in the daylight. But yet, we have traveled to the church amongst the darkness of the people. Because they so wrapped up in things. Things is not going to get them to heaven. I heard Elvis Presley say, well, says, when I die, I'm going to take all my fortune with me, and I'm going to be sitting up in a convertible, that pink Cadillac I got, and that's what they're going to bury me in. See, he was depending on his wealth, and he was depending on that pink Cadillac to get him to heaven. Well, the road we're going to travel to heaven, it's not hard service. He can take it, he can put that Cadillac out there if he wants to. But if he starts up, he says, well, I'm going to go. And he's going to go start flying and everything like that. And he's going to be going over a bump and everything. And he's going to come to find out. He may leave the ground for a minute in that automobile. But eventually he's going to come back. It's going to come back and it's going to hit the ground. And it's going to hit the ground harder than it ever has before. I mean, why? I don't understand why people want to. Well, yeah, I do. I started to say, I just don't understand why they want to believe this and believe that and do all this and all that. Because they ain't saved. That's the reason they believe it. They ain't saved. But I'm so thankful today that I'm saved by the grace of God. And I know that I can testify here today to each one of y'all in knowing that each one of y'all are saved. You'll have people who will preach you crazy because you don't know. You don't know. The only heart you know anything about is your own heart. That's true. I agree with you. That's true. But you have got evidence and you show evidence of your Christianity. You show your evidence that you have walked with the Lord. You have showed your evidence in being here at the services, when I had the services. Now, I'm going to say something here, but I don't mean to. I'm not picking on nobody. I don't like to do it. But just like we got a lady here in the church. She works a whole lot of time on the day we have services. But luckily right now, she is able to come to the morning service on Sunday. But on Sunday night, she would be limited to it. Then on Wednesday night, she'd be limited to it. But that does not say anything against her. That says more about her than anything, because the day that she's off, I know where she's going to be at. I don't have to think about it. I don't have to lay my head down and worry about nothing until last night about it. I wonder who's going to show up today. I mean, it's preachers and pastors right there. They do. They worry themselves to death. Because they have no idea who's going to show up. But I don't have to worry about that. I don't have to worry about that one bit. Because I know that you're going to be in God's house. I know that you're going to be in church. Unless something hinders you from being there. Like sickness. Or death within a family. Or something. You just don't lay out of church. You just don't skip church just to be skipping it. Because you say, I just want to stay home today. I'm so tired. I'm so tired. I heard one man say that to his wife. He said, I don't think I'm going to church today. Because I'm so tired. I'm wore out. I've worked hard all week. And everything. She says, honey, says, you ain't got no choice. You got to be there. He said, no, I ain't. He said, oh, yes, you do. But you're the pastor. I mean, but praise the Lord. You know, I don't have to. I need to get off of that. I need to get down to the message for today. And you know, the message today, I've been pondering and been looking it up, been pondering and seeking the Lord and asking Him exactly, you know, what He wants me to preach. And it's not that just because Mother's Day or Father's Day, the special holidays that we have, the special days that we have, they are the hardest of all the messages that I know. To try to come up with some. Try to come up with something that will bring the message to the people for that particular day. And today that I want to share with you is verses of scripture here in the book of Proverbs, chapter 31. And it says right here in the book of Proverbs, in chapter 31, verse 27, says, she looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. The title of the message that I come up with the Lord help me with it and everything, that this lady right here that he's talking about in the book of Proverbs is speaking about the mother of the household. She looketh well to her household. Other words, she is saying here that to her household, the individuals, her sons, her daughters, her grandchildren, her husband, and wife, whatever, they have been taught. And they know what God's word says. That's the reason she looketh well. She looketh well upon the household. Who looketh well upon her? Is it me? Is it you? You know who it is? I believe it's the individual right here that don't know anything at all about church. Don't know anything at all about Christianity. Don't know anything at all about raising children. You can raise them, and you can raise them in the right way. You can raise them biblically, but after they get to a certain age, eventually it comes down to them. They have to make the choice. We've made choices for the child's life. Like my daughter. We made a choice for her that she was going to be in church. She's going to be in a Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. And she was going to revival. But see, but that had to stop. When? It had to stop when she became an adult. When she became responsible for her own actions. And she is responsible for what she does and for what she don't do. She's responsible. But so many today, they forget about mom and dad. They forget about what they've been taught. They forget about what they was raised up to be. And now today, they won't come to church, not unless you've got a band up here. Is going to be singing rock gospel or gospel rock, however you want to pronounce it. And you can come dressed any way you want to be dressed. You can come dressed in your shorts. Dressed any way you want to. Now, I don't think they do it now. Because I think the pastor that they have now, and the last pastor that they had, the last one they had stopped it. I know that because he said, "I'm sorry." He said, "I just can't live with this. Either y'all gonna go by what, not just what I say, but what God says." He says, "Just because we have two services on Sunday, that does not give you the right." That does not give you the right to show up at church on Sunday, Sunday night, Wednesday night, dressed any way you can. And he says, if they want to come to church and slacks, yes. I'd rather them come and be in church with slacks on than to stay at home. Because when they stay at home, they're not going to get nothing. He said, but what I'm talking about the individuals that come to church on Sunday, comes here, and they want to sing in a choir. And I said, you cannot sing in a choir dressed like that. Some of them come in to church, in this particular church, within Danville, the city limits of Danville, Virginia. I know it to be a fact. Because there was an individual that went over there. He passed away now.
And he came and told me one day. He said, "Man," he said, "I don't know what's going to happen to the church over there." I said, what do you mean? He said, "The pastor, he's done really come down, and he done come down hard on what the people can do and what they can't do in church." I said, "Well," I said, if it's biblical, yeah, that's where it needs to be. But he said that they had young ladies in their 20s, some in their 30s, and teenagers coming to church on Sunday morning in the dead of summer, with the two-piece bathing suit on.
Oh, Lord.
Well, when they get out of church, that they get in the car and go to Smith Mountain Lake. Do you think God approves that?
No.
Do you think God is pleased with that? I don't. I don't. Yes, they get saved. But if they get saved and get born again, God's going to change our ways. God's going to change our ways. And that He's going to change it. And He's going to speak to them in a way that what He's given us all to look to. And that's the Word of God. But then, if you come up and you see where an individual had lived like that, and all of a sudden they get saved and everything, and then some people might say, well, they fall down out of luck and anything. It's not no luck at all in serving God. You're serving, you're done. That's it.
It's a choice. Which choice do you want? And I heard that one young man, he made a choice. He made the choice to go up one Sunday and to get saved. They said he bowed right there at the altar. And the evangelist that was there come down and put his arms around him and started praying with him. And the pastor of the church done the same thing. They prayed with him. And they asked him, says, would you like to be saved today? He says, I sure would. He gave his heart and life to Jesus that day. But he did not, what he was going through and what he was battling, he wouldn't turn that over to God. He kept on with it. He kept on handling it himself. He said, God, I know that you saved me. I know that. And I know that what your word says. I know it because of the two individuals, that pastor and evangelist, told me. He said, but Lord, I know that the people there in the church, I know some of them, they don't want me there. And I can't come. Because of they going to be there. He said, Lord, I just got to work it out myself and I got to get everything straight. I got to get everything straight with my own life. I got to get it done myself. Can't nobody help me. And he was on drugs, he was on alcohol, he was on just about anything they think of that day and time. But they said that when that week, when after he got saved, he was at work and he was a mechanic. And said some of his friends come by the place of business. They asked him, could he do some work for them on their vehicle or motorcycle or whatever? And he told him, he said, yeah, he said, I can do it. He says, you want me to do it now? You want me to wait till after I get home and everything? He said, well, they said, well, you can do it now if you want to. And he didn't say anything about it was going to cost him. But the thing about it was, when he got through working on him, he had him a bill. They said, this ain't right. You didn't say anything that you were going to charge me. You didn't say anything about you were going to charge me a certain amount. You just said, bring it on in.
Told you I'd work on it. They said, yes, and you told me you'd work on it. He went to work on it and he fixed it. And I forgot what the individual was telling me about how much it was or nothing like that, but it wasn't really cheap. But this individual, he tried his very best to get that other individual to pay him. And he says, no, I'm not paying you. I don't owe it to you. I don't owe you nothing. Says, you told me just to pull in and I'll work on it. Says it, and I says, and there was nothing said about any money at all, and I know that. But the man told the individual that owned the vehicle, told him, he said, don't you think that somebody would charge you to do the work? He said, yeah. He said, I've been to other places and I've asked them, you know, same thing. But they'd come back and give me a price and everything. He said, but you didn't give me no price. You just told me to come on in and I'll work on it. So, that week, that individual stayed on him, stayed on this individual that just got saved, on him to the fact that that boy was so confused that he just couldn't understand what God's word meant and why it says one thing, but yet it means something else. He said, I didn't go back to church the next Sunday. He said, I stayed home. And I did turn the TV on and I watched some preaching there. And he said, but you know, it just won't like being in church. I said, no, sure ain't. He says, I just need for you to pray for me. He says, I need your prayers. I need your prayers more than anything that I know of today. I know that I'm saved. I'm not asking you to pray for that. I'm just asking you to pray that the demon that has been released upon my body, that somehow that I can be able to shake that demon off. Well, long story short, he didn't shake it. He couldn't get rid of the demon. See, the demon had him. Had him lock, stock, and barrel. With the cocaine, with the alcohol, got him back on the cocaine and him. He was back on drinking and everything. And he missed going to church that Sunday because of all that. Because of this one individual says, well, now you're Christian. And you say, you didn't say anything about money. And I thought maybe, hey, I heard people say, well, God will bless you. If you bless him, he'll bless you. I said, yeah, he will. But when an individual makes obligations, when an individual makes a bill, they need to make sure that it gets paid for. You don't leave God out. But if you do it the right way, if you do it God's way, you can still be faithful to God and doing what the Word of God says to do and giving back to God. And He'll also bless you in your endeavors and what you, the obligations you have met. Now, the obligations that we meet, we have to meet. Sometimes they're just made just to be making obligations. We don't see the final outcome of it all. See, that's one thing that God did not give us. God did not give us the knowledge. He did not give us the brain to see down in the future. Well, what we've just done, what it's going to cost us in the long run. If we knew what it was going to cost us in the long run, we would think through it a whole lot more than we ever have before. And probably after you think about it a while, you end up forgetting about it. Why? Because God's blessing you. But this individual, I can't talk to him no more. Matter of fact, he died last year. 58 years old. 58 years old. And he died. See, we will pay for our sin. And our sins comes with a time to where we can't repay it. But we will pay it one way or another. Because see, God was not going to leave him here on earth to continue doing what he was doing. And to went back on cocaine, went back on alcohol, and went back to all the other things that he was doing before. While he was trying to do that, and while other people was trying to talk to him, and I'm sure the Lord had talked to him, the Holy Spirit spoken to him, and everything, that he needs to just come back to church. He needs to repent of his sins. He needs to ask God to forgive him. He said, because his family don't know half of what he was doing. And they was wondering. And they was asking. People that come to see them, they was mourning and they was crying, yeah. They said, why did God take my son away from me? He was 58 years old and had been by 2 years getting saved. So why did God take it from him? He could have done so much for God. But see, the parents didn't know what he was doing. The parents did not know that he went back and what some people say, fall off the wagon. No. I'm sorry to say, with him, he never did get off the wagon. Yes, he asked Jesus to save him. But see, he didn't ask Jesus to do the work. He didn't ask Jesus, says, Jesus, I can't do it. I've tried just about for years trying to get off of this cocaine, and I've been trying to get off away from every bottle. But I can't. I don't know what else to do. But just leave it in your hands. And Lord, would you take care of that? For me, because I can't. See, he'd do that. If he'd have done that, he'd have been a whole lot better off. But a whole lot of times, we just don't want to. I've heard people say, well, I don't want to put too much on God. Well, but if you put it on God and put it on your children and your parents, but you know, that's where the raising comes in from. He knew better, but he got mixed up with the wrong crowd. Over in the book of, I think it's the book of Kings, Amon over there, he got hooked up with the wrong crowd. He got hooked up with the wrong crowd, and he done things that he did not want to do, but he done it because of peer pressure, because of the people that was around him at the particular time. And he was talking about his sister. He was talking about, I think her name was Tamar. Talking about his sister. It's sad. It's sad to say that we're living in the same day today as they was back then. Just like it says there in the book of Luke. I forgot what chapter, what verse it's in. But it's number 3 words there. And I think it's the shortest words. I mean, shortest verse in the Bible. I believe it's the shortest one. And it says this. Remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. And we can go back over and we can put the same words to in the book of Job. We can say the same thing about Job's wife. We can say, remember Job's wife. Remember her and what she's going through and what she's having to face each and every day. And with the people I hear. The people out here telling me, oh yeah, Job, he was all faithful and all that, doing this for God and everything. Where is he at now? Where is he at now? She said, you don't know where he's at? Says he's in the backyard back there, sitting there on some ashes and some coal. And the coals were still red hot. And I just told him, Job, won't you just give up and just say to God, no more, I can't take it. But see, Job was a righteous individual. The people that was around Job, the people in that area that lived around his herd, lived around his fortune, you want to say, his cattle, all his land, his home place, his family, and everything. They knew about all of that, and they knew that Job was a righteous individual. They knew that before they done anything, God was first. Before anything else was done. Can we just say that about ourselves? Can someone look at me or look at you going when in the mall or going downtown or when we're out in public or something like that? Can they look at me as an individual and says, there goes a righteous man. There goes a man that fears God. We need to fear him. And I hate to say this. There's a whole lot of people out here that at one time used to fear him, but not no more. They don't fear him no more. And that's the reason that they get caught up in the things that they get caught up in. It's because they just don't fear God. They don't care what God, they don't care what God says. They don't even care if God hears it. I mean, they just use all kinds of words. They use God's name in vain. They don't care. And then they wonder why they have it so hard. They wonder why that last week the hot water tank gave out on them. And the week before that, they had to take the automobile, put it in the shop. That was another $300-$400. And then I come to find out, too, that now my homeowner's policy, they're about ready to cancel that. And I don't know why, but they are ready to cancel it. And they said, because I've missed a payment. Where am I going to get the money? That's the problem. We depend on the monetary good. We depend on that dollar more than we do God. The dollar bill, it's the root of all evil. It's nothing evil about the dollar bill. It's nothing evil about the five, the 10, the 20, the $100 bill, the $50 bill. It's not anything wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with the money. But where it comes down to the root of it, comes back to the individual that is handling the money that they are. That they have, that God has so blessed them with. You know, people today, they don't even think God even blesses them at all. But I'm here to tell you today that when God starts blessing, and if you're saved, you're a Christian, He's blessing you during the night while you are sleeping to give you the rest that you need. But then, he's also, oh, glory, hallelujah, he's always there. He's not far away. Just like I told one of my brothers. He says, I wish my mother was here so I could talk to her. I said, well, if you knew the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, then he'll come into your heart. And he will live life within your individual heart. And not only that, then you won't be no father. Down by 12 inches away from your mother. Because she loved God. She had God in her heart. So I look at it this way. If you're going to serve God, you got to serve God, and you're going to also serve your mother too. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for this day. And I know, God, I pray, Father, that maybe, Father, the message that was preached. And I pray, Father, that what I said was pleasing to thee. And, Father, was the words that would come from my lips today. Father, the words, that Lord, that you had given me. And, Father, yes, and I pray if I may have spoke something wrong in a way that maybe some individuals may have maybe kind of confused about it. Lord, I hope and pray to God that I have not done it today. But if I have, I'm asking you now to please, please forgive me. Because that won't my intentions. That won't what my obligation is. My obligation is, first of all, is to serve you and obey your word. And then secondly, you've given me a flock of people that, Father, you've asked me to look over and to look after. And I pray, Father, that I can do that. And I pray, Father, if there's anyone here in the church, if they ever need to talk to me, want to call me, just call me. They can just call me anytime they want to. It don't make no difference. Because I never did find a schedule that you've got for a pastor. As far as a pastor's concerned, I believe in your word that he's on call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. And then on leap year, we have that extra day that we need to depend on thee. Father, we ask, Lord, now that you bless us as we go our different ways. And Father, help us to be a witness to our family. Help us, Lord, that maybe our family may say, Mama, what's happened? It's just something different about you. Can you please share with me what has happened? What has happened? And then they know it. Our family can say, what's Donnie done? I mean, he looks so at peace now. I know at one time that he was kind of worried about some things. But now he looks like he's at peace with everything. And yes, and Lord, Brother Bill, Father, I know, Lord, that he prays every day. I know he does. And he wants you to touch his body. Lord, I would ask you to touch his body. But Father, we're asking, Lord, not for you to do something just to be doing it. But we're asking now, Lord, that you'll do your will in each one of our lives that will bring you honor and you glory and your son honor and glory, that where we can thank you, Father, in releasing your son there from heaven and to come to earth and to take up the sins of the world and hang on an old cruel cross, that all we had to do was just come and accept him. And as we come and as we accepted him that particular day, we know, Father, that you turned his back on your son. And the reason for you turning your back on your son is because you could not look upon sin. You cannot look upon sin. That's the reason darkness came in the middle of the day. It's because of that. Father, I pray, God, this week that you would use us for the building of thy kingdom. And Father, that we can be able to invite. We never know unless we invite, unless we tell people. don't you just come on down to church? You never know who's liable to show up. If we just tell the people, you need to just come down there. You need to come down there, not just for me, but you need to come down there and hear something from God. Father, we thank you and we love you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. And amen. Amen.